What's going on, Tan and J-Man Show Nation? It's Monday night, so you know what that means. A brand new episode of the Tan and J-Man Show streaming live on the ISC Sports Network, along with ISC Sports Network YouTube channel and the Tan and J-Man Show Facebook page. And, of course, audio available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts at. I'm Tanner Lee, flying solo tonight as my normal co-host Josh the J-Man Munt could not join me, left me hanging. Just in case. Just kidding. He didn't leave me. He has, of course, family Christmas going on. It is the holiday season. Happy Christmas Eve to everybody. For all you Seinfeld fans out there, happy Festivus. A Festivus for the rest of us, I guess you could say.
Festivus for the rest of us.
Gotta love Seinfeld. Gotta love Mr. Constanza there. And then, you know, Jerry Spiller was also known as Arthur Spooner and King of Queens. Two of my favorite sitcoms of all time there, Seinfeld and the King of Queens. But hopefully everybody's having a fantastic start to their holiday week today, this evening. For everybody who had to work today, hopefully you got through your work day just fine. For everybody who had the day off and has the rest of the week off, maybe the rest of 2024 off, enjoy your time with family and friends. You can't beat this time of year for sure. So, but even though I don't have anybody on the other side to answer this trivia question, I am throwing it out there for the Tan and J-Man Show Nation. So everybody watching live on Tan and J-Man Show Facebook page, you can play along and comment with your answer. And if you're listening to this tomorrow on Christmas Eve when it drops, you can either answer on any of our social media channels or you can just answer alone out loud to yourself. So, but the birdie or bogey question is for this week. I got to find out on my phone now. Hopefully I kept it. Let's see here. Yes, I did. So Bill Belichick, of course, the future Hall of Famer, Bill Belichick, a longtime New England Patriots head coach, one of the best, if not the best, to ever do it on the NFL sidelines. He recently became the head coach of the University of North Carolina Tar Heels. So he could become the fourth coach ever to win a Super Bowl and a national championship. Can you name the other three coaches to do so? Bonus points if you can name what NFL teams and what colleges they won a Super Bowl and national championship with. So that movie on Facebook is close enough to quote the best comedy of all time. Happy birthday, Jesus. Sorry, your party's so lame. Yes. The Office, another one of my all-time favorites. And when it comes to Christmas episodes, both The Office and Seinfeld are tough to beat, for sure. Absolutely. But the birdie or bogey segment is brought to you by, like it is every week, the Arlington Public House in Rochester, Indiana. Let me see what kind of specials they had over the weekend here. Over the weekend, they had sauteed red snapper. It says perfectly golden and flaky. Buttery noodles, seasoned green beans, spicy Cajun cream sauce. That looks really good. And their pictures never do their food any justice. I mean, it looks good in the pictures, looks even better in person, tastes even better than you can imagine. So, and they also have their calendar for the rest of the year up here for 2024. They are closed tomorrow and Wednesday for Christmas and closed Thursday for Christmas as well, but they'll be open this Friday the 27th from 4 to 10, as well as Saturday the 28th from 4 to 10. And then the next time they will be open is next Friday, January 3rd from 4 to 10. They'll also be open next Saturday, January 4th from 4 to 10 as well. And like I said, that is Birdie or Bogey, sponsored by the Arlington Public House, which is located at 703 Main Street in Rochester, Indiana. It's upscale cuisine and cocktails with a casual atmosphere. So if you live around the Rochester area, Rochester, Indiana area, northern Indiana area, and you've never been to Arlington Public House, I recommend you do so because you are missing out on a hidden gem. And it's not a hidden gem in Rochester, Indiana, because everybody knows about it, but definitely a hidden gem in northern Indiana that's starting to become not a hidden gem. The more that people find out about it, trust me, you won't be a one-time visitor. Let's put it that way. But a lot going on in the world of sports right now. I mean, we got NFL playoffs about to begin here in 2 weeks. So the playoff picture's becoming pretty crystal clear for the most part. But we got a few things to figure out here in week 17 and week 18. College football playoffs round one is over. So we know the eight teams made the quarterfinals. And, of course, college basketball had some big-time non-conference games over the weekend to discuss as a conference play starts fully. Conference play starts here in about a week. So a lot to discuss, but let's educate ourselves and talk about some sporting events that have happened on this day on December 23rd, shall we? And I haven't not looked at this list. So you and I are going to learn some stuff at the same time. On this day, 1951, the National Football League Championship was held in the LA Memorial Coliseum. As the Los Angeles Rams beat the Cleveland Browns 24-17, it was the first coast-to-coast televised NFL title game. And if I'm not mistaken, that's the last time the Browns have made a title game. I know they've never made a Super Bowl in the Super Bowl era. One of just a few teams remaining in the league that have not made a Super Bowl. But I'm pretty darn sure, without fact-checking myself, that that's the last time they've made a title game. Let's see what else we got here. On this day in 1972, the Immaculate Reception happened as the Steelers turned around a 7-6 defeat with a last second touchdown reception against the Raiders. I'm not sure if it was Oakland or Los Angeles at the time to win 13-7. Franco Harris. There's a statue of that. Also on the day 1972, the second Fiesta Bowl was played as number 15 Arizona State defeated Missouri by a score 49-35. That's back when bowl games meant something. And I know Josh and I were talking about just a week or two ago how we missed the importance of bowl season, the meaningful games of bowl season. Now it's just really the meaningful games are the college football playoff and all the other games are, I guess, something to watch if there's nothing else for you to watch on TV, where it used to be appointment television, at least for a big college football fan like myself. Let's see, what else do we got on here? On this day, 1987, the Buffalo Sabres goaltender Tom Bissaro led the Sabres to a 5-2 win over the Detroit Red Wings to record his 100th NHL victory, making him the youngest player to reach the milestone at just 22 years and 9 months. On this day, 1997, Chicago Bulls coach Phil Jackson became the quickest to reach 500 career wins. Just took him 682 games to do so. Pretty darn impressive there. On this day in 2022, Washington Capitals center Alex Ovechkin scored 2 goals to move past Gordie Howe on the most NHL career goals list in a 4-1 win over the visiting Winnipeg Jets. And that is going to do it for this week's On This Day segment. I'm blanking there. Which is brought to you by, like it is every week, Mooney Woodcrafts. Mooney Woodcrafts is a veteran-owned and operated woodcraft shop based out of Texas with Indiana grassroots. They provide 100% hand-cut custom designs that fit your needs, and their pieces are a great addition to any home, office, or man cave. You can see some of their recently completed projects by visiting them at Mooney Woodcrafts on Instagram and on Facebook. And if you let them know the Tan and J-Man Show sent you, you get 15% off your first sign order. So if you didn't happen to get your sign orders in this year in time for a Christmas gift, no worries. You're going to have a lot of opportunities in 2025. Thad does great work for anything you're looking for, whether it's a sports, a wooden sign of a sports, of your favorite sports team, maybe somebody else in your life's a favorite sports team, whether it's a family sign, military sign, growth charts, all sorts of things. Anything that can be made out of wood into a sign, that can get it done at Mooney Woodcrafts. So let that know the Tan and J-Man Show sent you. Let them know what you want. You'll get 15% off your first sign order. So, all right. Well, let's get into some football talk, shall we? Let's talk some college football playoffs as the first four college football playoff games are now have come and gone, we should say. We know the quarterfinals. And the quarterfinals are, you're going to have Ohio State versus Oregon in the Rose Bowl. After the Ohio State took care of Tennessee pretty easily the other night by a score of, what was the final score there? It was a whooping. Well, let me see here. It wasn't even as close as the score indicated. Of course, my keyboard's not working for me. I'll pull it up on my phone here. But Ohio State, and this was the last of the four games. We'll kind of go in reverse chronological order here. Ohio State looked focused. They did not look like the same team that lost to their arch rival, the Michigan Wolverines, just a couple weeks ago in Ohio Stadium. They looked focused, looked out like they're on a mission, out for blood. That final was 42-17. They took care of the Volunteers, and you know, the Volunteers from the SEC Conference, the Southeastern Conference, it just means more. That's what they always tell us. Well, it meant more for the Buckeyes the other night. As they were outstanding, and if they play like that, they're going to be hard to beat. But next up, like I said, is a rematch with Oregon, who beat them by 1 point earlier this season out in Eugene when they played. And that's going to be a good one. And I like it, even though it's Big Ten against Big Ten. Playing in the Rose Bowl just seems fitting because it still feels like an old, just the old Big Ten Pac-12 or Pac-10, if you want to even go back further, a matchup that we're accustomed to, the traditional granddaddy of them all matchup there. Should be exciting game. One thing that is kind of a bummer, but I understand it. You know, they let all the players and coaches have a break to spend the holidays with their family, if they can do so, is that so these next round games, these quarterfinal games, which are all played on the neutral site, I should mention that, because the first round was all played on college campuses. These games aren't until January 1st, but also December 31st. So New Year's Eve and New Year's Day is when these games will be played. So we got to wait another week, but that's okay. Like I said, we got plenty of football to watch this week with the NFL, and there's NBA on Christmas Day, if that's to your fancy. I'm not a big NBA guy myself, but hey, if you are, got plenty of games on Christmas Day to watch as well. But so that's one of the matchups. The other matchups, you're going to have Arizona. Well, we're going to chronological order. Yeah, that's correct. Arizona State versus Texas in the Peach Bowl. Texas took care of Clemson. That was the closest of all four games, in my opinion. I know the score was closer in the Indiana Notre Dame game, which we'll talk about here in a minute. But I thought, as far as how the games actually went, I thought the Texas-Clemson game was actually closer. Texas won by a score of 38-24. Looked pretty good doing so. Now they will face the Big 12 champs, their old conference, in Arizona State. And then the first game on Saturday saw Penn State take care of SMU pretty easily. So another Big Ten team moving on there. That final score was 38-10. The boys from down in Texas, Southern Methodist University, looked like they didn't really enjoy the cold, and also just didn't enjoy playing against that nasty Nittany Lion defense. Penn State brought it, and that's got to be James Franklin's most important win of his career to date, right? We're always told he can't win the big game, but I'd categorize this one as a big game since it was college football playoff, but he got it done. And then Friday night was the battle in the state of Indiana between Indiana University and Notre Dame. Notre Dame advances and will now play Georgia in the Sugar Bowl. Notre Dame won that game by a score of 27-17. Indiana's two touchdowns came real late in the game, so it looked like it was going to be 27-3 there for a while. Great season by the Indiana Hoosiers. Coach Kirk Cignetti, his first year down there in Bloomington, I mean, it was their best year in program history. You can talk about the strength of the schedule and that they, when they played against ranked teams, which they only did twice, against Notre Dame and Ohio State, they took home losses. And both those games were on the road. And you can talk about their other road games being at UCLA, at Northwestern, at Michigan State. Three of the teams in the Big Ten that did not make a bowl. But, hey, you got to play who's on your schedule. It wasn't their fault that Washington and Michigan were different versions of themselves this year, as opposed to last year when Michigan won the national championship and Washington was national championship runner-up. I mean, they pounded everybody they beat for the most part besides Michigan. But, you know, Notre Dame just looked like the better team from the get-go. I mean, Julian Love had the 98-yard touchdown. Their defense was just too much for Curtis Rourke and Indiana's offense. I thought Indiana's defense played all right. But even then, Riley Leonard, I thought, made some plays for the Irish, especially with his legs. And Kirk Cignetti probably ate some humble pie a little bit, you know, going on College Game Day a couple hours before the kickoff and saying that we don't only beat top 25 teams, we kicked the blank out of them. Well, like I just mentioned, they didn't beat any top 25 teams. They only played two top 25 teams on the season when they played them, at least. So I don't know why he said that. I don't know why he says a lot of things that he says. He's a very good coach, but he's quickly becoming a pretty hated coach around the other fan bases and the other teams, the other 17 teams in the Big Ten. It'll be interesting to see if Indiana has some sort of target on their back next season. And you got to think they'll probably be ranked the preseason top 25 to start the year, but we'll see what they can do after a year of success like they had going 11-1. And seeing what additions they bring in the portal. And, of course, how losing a lot of their portal guys, especially the guys from James Madison and Rourke from Ohio University, how losing those guys affect their team. So, but overall, I enjoyed the college football playoff games. I really liked them being on campus. I mean, I don't think it's just a coincidence that the home teams didn't really struggle at all. So that'll make things interesting going back to a neutral game. But you know, and we're spoiled as sport fans, always wanting the games to be closer than they are if they're not a close game, if they're not a good game, you know. So Friday night you have Indiana lose and people are coming out of the woodwork, especially for the SEC, saying, oh, Alabama should have been in, Ole Miss should have been in, South Carolina should have been in. Then it ramped up the next day with SMU getting beat. Didn't really hear it so much with Clemson losing, and then Tennessee loses, you know, an SEC team. Then you hear the other fan base chirping back to the SEC. So it'll be interesting to see where the playoffs go from here, especially with this being the first year of the playoffs. I saw the highest rated game, no surprise, was Ohio State, Tennessee, followed by Indiana and Notre Dame, and then Texas, Clemson, and then Penn State, SMU. Some of that can be attributed to what channels they were on, but also just the opponents in the matchup or the teams that were involved in the matchups too. I mean, Notre Dame gets watched no matter who they play. So because you either most cases you like them or you love them or you hate them. So looking forward to these quarterfinal matchups. I still think Oregon's the team to beat. But I'm gonna go on record here on December 23rd. And say whoever comes out of that matchup between Oregon and Ohio State is going to win the national championship, in my opinion. Not sure if the J-Man would agree with me or not. We'll have to get his take next week because he'll be back on the 30th, and we won't know who's in the semifinals yet because the quarterfinal games will have not been played yet as they're played next Tuesday and Wednesday. So we'll make our predictions for those games next week. But let us know if you enjoyed the first round of the college football playoffs or not. If not, what would you like? I mean, see differently. Do you want would you like it to go back to the way it was in the past with just four teams making the playoff? Or would you even want to go back to the BCS days? And it's interesting if you think about that for a minute, if you say they were to this year use the four team format, what four teams do you think get in the playoffs? Of course, Oregon's no brainer, Big Ten champs. Undefeated. Then looking around at the other teams who made it, I think you take Georgia, SEC champions, and they beat Texas twice. So I think that eliminates Texas. I think you put Notre Dame in there in a four-team playoff. I know they only had one loss, and I know their one loss was to Northern Illinois, a team they should have beat and probably would have beat nine times out of 10. But I think 11-1 Notre Dame team, you don't keep out of a 14 playoff. And then the other team, Call me crazy, but I think Ohio State would have got the other spot. Of course, some of that comes with name recognition. Their fan base, you know, they travel, ratings, ticket sales, etc. But their two losses, of course, the Michigan one didn't look too good, but still a close loss. Then at Oregon by 1 point. So I think Ohio State would have got it over, say, a Penn State or an Indiana, or even a conference champion like Clemson, or runner-up, or a conference champion like Arizona State, or even a runner-up like Texas or SMU. So that's an interesting topic you can definitely debate for sure. And I'd love to hear everybody's opinion on what four teams they think would have got in or deserved to get in if the playoffs were still the four-team format, but they're not. So, all right. Well, let's stick with football, and let's talk about some NFL. Actually, I'm reversing course here. See, this is what happens when I'm the solo host. I just scrap my agenda, and we're all over the place. So let's do the pick six segment, which I'm just going to go on ESPN.com here and see some of their headlines, and we'll talk about some of their headlines. And one of their headlines here is one of their top headlines, top portal tight end Claire commits to Ohio State. Yes, Max Claire, formerly Purdue Boilermakers for his first 2 years of his college career, commits to Ohio State, which is a punch in the gut to any Boilermaker fan. I think if you ask a lot of them, out of their really good players that entered the portal, and the good players I'm talking about, Max Claire, Dylan Thieneman, Will Helt, and I am blanking on the other one right now off the top of my head. Let's talk about those three at least. If you would have asked any Boilermaker fan which one they would want to have back the most, I think Max Claire would have probably been the most popular answer, just because he had 2 years left. And you could tell, I think he's definitely a future pro tight end. But it's a punch in the gut, not only for him to be leaving Purdue not to be able to retain him, but just the fact that he's going to Ohio State, staying within the Big Ten. Not only that, but unlike Dylan Thieneman, who's going to Oregon, Purdue doesn't play Oregon next year. Purdue hosts Ohio State next year. So you got to see him on the opposing – you will have to see him on the opposing sidelines next year in Ross State Stadium when Purdue takes on the Buckeyes. So, but it's also – it just shows you, you know, with, like I said, Max Claire going to Ohio State, Dylan Thieneman going to Oregon, Will Helt going to Clemson, Cole Brevard, when they're starting defensive tackles, going to Texas. They had talent on this team, at least talent that was a lot better than their 1-11 record, which is frustrating, and it shows you just the lack of coaching or the poor coaching out of their head coach Ryan Walters and staff, and that's why a move was made. And now Barry Odom's the head man there in West Lafayette, and he's got a whole staff with him now that's a lot more experienced than the staff was under Ryan Walters. So we'll see. We'll see if the Boilermakers can turn around in 2025, but that's a podcast for another day. Let's see what else we have here. Aaron Rodgers. He's been in the news a lot. You know, he's got a Netflix documentary type thing out right now. But really his future is kind of a mystery right now. He's 41 years old. I think he has a year left on his contract with the Jets. But he suggests that today that the Jets might release him after the season. Now, I was thinking about this today. I don't blame the Jets if they don't want Rodgers back. I mean, he's had an all right year. His team's terrible, but he's had an all right year from an individual standpoint. But he's 41 years old. If you're the Jets, you're probably not going to win next year. Just don't see it being a playoff contender, let alone Super Bowl contender. So do you really want to hitch your horse to a 41-year-old, he'll be 42 next year, quarterback just for a year, when you can start over, go draft somebody that could potentially be your future franchise quarterback? I think that's the direction you go, but it will be interesting. I mean, to see if any team, assuming Rodgers wants to play another year, if any team takes the bait and wants to go get him. I mean, there are some teams that are going to need a quarterback, the New York Giants, but looks like as of right now, as of today, they'd be the number one pick in the NFL draft. I mean, I guess they could maybe take a flyer on Rodgers, you know, New York to New York. Who else? Looking at the order, and the Patriots have number two pick. They don't need a quarterback. Number three, Jacksonville Jaguars. They wouldn't do that with Trevor Lawrence. Number four, Tennessee Titans. They need a quarterback, but they'd probably draft one instead of bringing Rodgers in, but that'd be interesting. Would Rodgers really want to play for the Titans? Probably not. Number five with the Browns. They got a lot of money tied up with Deshaun Watson, even though they could use a quarterback. Don't see that happening. Number six, Las Vegas Raiders. Yeah, the Raiders fell at sixth pick in the draft order by beating the Jaguars yesterday. They really hurt their chances to get the number one pick. I mean, I'm sure they'd bring Rodgers in for a year. Maybe that's possible. Maybe that's a situation to look at. 49ers have an 11th overall pick. I mean, I guess if they don't want to re-sign Brock Purdy for whatever reason or don't think he could be the guy, maybe Aaron Rodgers could fit there. There's been a lot of California connections there for a year, but once again, I don't see that happening. I think if they want to get away from Brock Purdy, look for Kirk Cousins, possibly be a San Francisco 49er. It looks like the Atlanta Falcons are going to head forward with Michael Penix Jr. And say goodbye to Kirk Cousins and cut him, even though he had that four-year contract and he's only in 1 year of that four-year contract. So I'll talk about that more here in a little bit when I talk about my winners and losers and playoff picture and all that stuff. But all right, let's see what else they have. Let's see here. Antonio Pierce of the Las Vegas Raiders. He was cited today ignoring the critics after the win, saying, "We don't do this to lose." That was in the critics of saying, you know, you hurt your draft stock, you hurt your draft order by losing 19-14 or by winning 19-14 against the Jaguars yesterday. You know, it could possibly cost them Shedeur Sanders from Colorado or Miami's Cam Ward if they want to go in that direction. But I get it from a coaching standpoint. I mean, you're a competitor. You want to try to win games. You're not going to say, "Hey, we're not trying to win games. We're trying to lose games. We're trying to get the best draft pick available." They're not going to come out and say that. So we'll see what happens there. And the Raiders could always draft up, move up in the draft boards. That money on Facebook, Jets release Rodgers. Flacco retires for good. Colts sign Rodgers. Rodgers comes to where old wash-up quarterbacks go to end their career. Interesting scenario there. Yeah, Anthony, you know, they just drafted Anthony Richardson last year with the number five overall pick. Of course, he had an injury last year that cut his season way short. Started a majority of games this year. Joe Flacco started two or three of those when he didn't. But he, I don't know what the Colts are going to do. Do they give him one more year or do they just cut ties? Because he just doesn't look like the guy to me. If I'm a Colts fan, which I'm not, I am rooting for a complete teardown and rebuild. I think it would be good to cut ties with Chris Ballard, GM, get rid of a lot of guys that have been there and just start rebuilding instead of just putting bandages on bullet holes like they kind of have been and being close to making the playoffs for the last handful of years, but on the outside looking in. So, but that's interesting. Could be an interesting landing point there. Let's see if I can find a couple more here. Not a great list today. Kind of a slow news day. Deontay Johnson claimed off the waivers from the Ravens by the Houston Texans. So a team that's going to be in the playoffs since they're the AFC South division winners. And they needed help. They needed receiver help after losing Tank Dell to a season-ending knee injury. Brutal season-ending knee injury caused by friendly fire, for being honest, during Saturday's loss to the Kansas City Chiefs, 27-19 for the Texans. So the Chargers were the only other team to place a waiver claim on Johnson. So as a Broncos fan who, I'll discuss that in a little bit, that just lost to the Chargers for the second time this year, I'm glad he went to Houston and not L.A. or even Kansas City, as they were rumored to be interested as well. But we'll see how that works down there in Houston, because he kind of seems to me like a locker room distraction. But we will see. Let's see what who else we can talk about. Anthony Edwards, the Timberwolves, Anthony Edwards, and the headlines again, this time for criticizing officials. He was fined $75,000 for public criticism of the officiating and using profane language. The NBA announced Monday in a second such punishment this month. He sounded off on officials after their 113-103 loss at home to the Golden State Warriors on Saturday night. He was fined $25,000 by the league 2 weeks ago for post-game profanity following a win over the Warriors that wasn't part of an officiating complaint. So, yeah. Interesting. Alex Bregman. Negotiations with Alex Bregman have stalled, according to the Houston Astros. They welcome first baseman Christian Walker to the team today in one of two moves that pretty much probably ends the career of Alex Bregman in Houston. Two-time All-Star. So, we'll see, because Walker signed a $60 million three-year contract. I'll pay him $20 million annually. So we will see there. We'll see what happens. And Paul Goldschmidt, he signed a one-year deal with the New York Yankees. So ending his time in St. Louis. And ultimately, looks like it's going to end Anthony Rizzo's time there in New York as well. Assuming Goldschmidt plays first base, he could play a multi-different of positions in New York. So, yeah, some interesting things going on there. So that's the Pick 6 segment this week, which is brought to you by, like is every week, Performa Print 2 Promo Group. Let me pull up the read here, as I almost just started it by heart, but I better pull it up so I don't get anything wrong here. And if you're looking for a trustworthy, dependable resource for your next trade show, company picnic, or sales meeting in 2025, Performa Print 2 Promo Group has over 50 years combined experience in promotional products and commercial print. They strive for fast and efficient response to all your print needs, so you need to look no further. Let them be your one-source print and promotional company today by giving Barbara Van Weinsberg a call at 574-210-3815. Now we will talk about the National Football League. We will talk about the NFL. I figured this will be the biggest part of the show that I talk about. So a lot to talk about here. So we'll start off with my three winners and three losers. The J-Man did provide his week 17 picks, but he did not provide his weekly winners and losers for week 16. So this will just be my list. And we'll start off with the winners here. And let me pull up my phone here so I get my list correct. And I will start off with the Washington Commanders defeating their NFC East division rivals, the Philadelphia Eagles, by score 36-33. So keeping them alive for the possibility of winning that NFC East crown. Of course, they would have to win their remaining two games, and the Eagles would have to lose the remaining two games. But we've seen crazier things happen, especially since the uncertainty of the quarterback position going forward for the Eagles. Since Jalen Hurts was injured in the first quarter, and Kenny Pickett looks like he will be the guy going forward this week when they play the Dallas Cowboys. But Kenny Pickett got banged up too the second half with a rib injury. Jaden Daniels, unfortunately, and from my perspective, since I'm a Broncos fan and a Bo Nix fan, of course, I think he wrapped up the Offensive Rookie of the Year, tossing 5 touchdowns on Saturday in that win, including the last go-ahead touchdown there to Crowder. But good win for the Commanders. They needed that. They needed a win against a really quality opponent. So I felt like they started this year off really hot and kind of really had tampered off for a while. So big time win. And I mean, they're pretty much in the playoffs now. So let's see if they can backdoor their way into an NFC East crown. Another winner here. How about the Kansas City Chiefs? I hate putting them in the winners category because I'm not a fan of the Kansas City Chiefs by any means, but they get it done again in a single digit victory, a 27-19 win over the Houston Texans. They didn't play the greatest, but they just find ways to win close games. They're going to be one of two Christmas games this week on Netflix. Yes, Netflix hosting their first ever NFL game and it's on Christmas Day this Wednesday. Chiefs at the Steelers, and then you also have the Ravens at the Texans. So Chiefs, Steelers, 1 o'clock, Ravens, Texans, 4:30. So make sure you have Netflix subscription if you're wanting to watch that on Wednesday, which I'm assuming more Americans have a Netflix subscription than not, but could be wrong on that. But yeah, put the Chiefs in winners category. I mean, they went undefeated in regular season at Arrowhead for the first time in franchise history. And they've tied their most wins in regular season since the 03 season, which I believe Trent Green days. And I believe, if I'm not mistaken, they hosted the Colts in the playoffs. And Peyton Manning and the fellows went in there and got it done in a cold game at Arrowhead, which neither team could really score. So, Mitch Melton on Facebook, I hope it's better than the fight they hosted. Yeah, me too. Me too. I was one of the individuals around the country that the whole Jake Paul and Mike Tyson, that event that night, all the other fights worked for me until it got to the main event. The only one I wanted to stay up and watch, and it stopped working. So hopefully they got that fixed. I'm sure they're assuming that they're going to get a lot more traffic for the NFL game. Yeah, but I don't think they will, now that I say that. I mean, let's just put it this way. I hope their servers are ready to handle this, because they weren't for the Paul Tyson fight, because I think their servers thought they could handle around, I think, 30 million or so. And I think there were 60 million at one time watching. I don't know if there'll be that many people watching the NFL games, but I'm sure, yeah, they can't. They honestly just can't afford to have that happen again. Especially, the NFL wouldn't stand for that. The NFL's king of everything. I mean, as good as the college football playoffs were this week, the two Saturday NFL games still pulled a better rating than any of the four college football playoff games. So, my third winner of the week was also the other Saturday game, the Baltimore Ravens beating the Steelers 34-17, taking command of the AFC North Division. So, a big win for them. Actually, not taking command of it yet, but assuming the Chiefs beat the Steelers and then the Ravens take care of the Texans, then the Ravens jump into the driver's seat for the AFC North. So, yeah, the Ravens looked like the Ravens of a month ago or a month and a half ago or so on Saturday. So, it's pretty impressive with what they did. Losers, I'm going Homer pick here, even though Homer's picks usually for a positive thing, not a negative thing. I'm putting my favorite team, the Denver Broncos, the loser category. It was as simple as winning you're in week 16 against division rival LA Chargers on Thursday night on a game that the Broncos were flexed into. Didn't have to take the Thursday night game if they didn't want to, but head coach Sean Payton said, yeah, we'll take it on. We love primetime games. Lost 34-27 after being up 11 points two different times in the game. The way Sean Payton, I could have just put Sean Payton's coaching Thursday night and clock management in particular in the loser category instead of the whole Broncos team, but the defense didn't hold their weight either. So that's why I'm throwing them as a whole team in the one of my three loser spots. You know, the way Payton mishandled the clock in the first half, still mad about it 4 days later. You know, you're up 11 points. You just got an interception. I think you got 41 seconds left. You got to go, I don't know, 50 to 60 yards probably to get in the field goal range. You throw a screen. Javonte Williams catches it, gets tackled. Figure Chargers would call a timeout, but they don't. So right then I'm like, okay, just run the ball or take a knee and head into the locker room. Then on second down, they pass it again. Incomplete. So now it stops the clock. Then you decide to run it on third down. So where then Jim Harbaugh uses a timeout with 8 seconds left to try to bring the house to block a punt. He doesn't get the block punt, but he gets something, honestly, it's not better than a block punt, because a block punt, you're going to get the ball in automatic field goal range or maybe even a touchdown. But he gets the best other prize there, to which the punt return for the Chargers was fair catching. The special teams player for the Broncos, Smith, was too close. Fair catch interference. So tack on the 15 yards. And with a fair catch, anytime you fair catch the ball, you just rarely ever see this. Teams can take a free kick. And with tacking on the 15-yard penalty, it was a 57-yarder for Cameron Dicker. And Harbaugh's like, yeah, we'll try it. Of course, the Broncos line guys up there in case it was short, so they could try to return the field goal. So the Chargers had guys out there to make the tackle just in case, but Cameron Dicker nailed it to make it an 8-point deficit for the Chargers to have an 11-point deficit. And it was the first time somebody has made a free kick in the NFL since 1976 in a game that also involved Los Angeles Chargers against the Buffalo Bills, I believe. And so it seemed like that just kind of killed the Broncos going forward. Yeah, the Broncos started off the second half with a drive to get a field goal to get back up 11, but it kind of just felt like it killed their mojo going forward. In the defense, we've seen cracks in this foundation all December in this defense that in one time I thought was the best in the NFL. I mean, we saw the Browns a couple weeks ago kill them through the air, even though the Broncos won. So the Colts last week kill them on the ground, even though the Broncos won. Chargers, it was a mix of both. Herbert made plays with his arm. Then he made plays with his legs too. I mean, and you got him backed up in your own territory. Third and 10, a few minutes left in the game. Looks like you're going to get the ball back, and you let him scamper for 16 yards on third and 10. Just can't happen. So the Broncos still, their playoff destiny still is in their own hands. They win against the Cincinnati Bengals at Cincinnati this Saturday, they're in. Or if they happen to lose that game, then beat their AFC West division rival, the Kansas City Chiefs, at home in Week 18, they're in. But you lose the, both those games, and the Bengals, for instance, of course, in that case, would beat the Broncos. And if the Bengals beat the Steelers Week 18, then the Bengals are in. So there's still a lot to figure out there. But, yeah, you had a chance to win, and you're in the playoffs for the first time since the 2015 season. And it looked like you had it in your hands, and you choked it away. Got to be on my loser list. Other losing teams for me this week. Let's see here. The Arizona Cardinals losing 36-30 in overtime at Carolina. I think it kind of ends Arizona's hopes of making the playoffs. They're a fun story for a while. You know, Kyler Murray can be a fun quarterback to watch. He's very athletic, scramble around, make some plays, but he just doesn't seem to have that dog in him, in my opinion. What I mean by that is he just doesn't get it done in close games when he needs to. Doesn't make that big play close games when he needs to. I don't know if Arizona could go out and get a better quarterback for their situation. So I think they'll keep Kyler Murray around, but man, what a missed opportunity there for the Cardinals, and a good win by the Panthers. The Panthers at one time were easily looked at as the worst team in the league, but now they got a 4-11 record. So, and good to see Bryce Young making strides in his career as well. And lastly, my last loser here, Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Losing 26-24 at Dallas last night on Sunday Night Football, to where, you know, you had the NFC South right in your hands, and now you're neck and neck with the Falcons, who, of course, the Falcons made a QB switch going from Kirk Cousins to Michael Penix Jr., who they took number 8 overall, made his first career start over the weekend in a 34-7 win over the New York Giants. And, I mean, he didn't blow it away statistically by any means. 18 for 27, 202 yards, 0 touchdowns, 1 interception. But some people on social media were saying the box score doesn't tell a story, and he played a lot better than the box score shows. But nonetheless, kudos to the Cowboys winning that game. Now they're 7-8. They've played a lot better with Cooper Rush than I ever thought they would. And Cooper Rush is definitely a good backup. Definitely good, serviceable backup in the NFL. He's proved that. But bad loss there by Baker Mayfield and the boys, just when I thought they were guns a-blazing. You know, they put up 40 points at L.A. last week in a 40-17 win. But to turn around and lose a game in primetime like that, and then now you host Carolina, which I think you'll get the dub, but that's a divisional rival game there. And Atlanta goes to Washington. That'll be a big one. And then the following week, you host the Saints while the Falcons host the Panthers. So, I don't know. Pressure's on. On the Buccaneers down in Tampa. So that is definitely my third loser of the week. So, but now let's pick some games, shall we, for week 17. And I got the J-Man's picks here as well. Starting with the Christmas Day games, once again on Netflix. The first one at 1 o'clock, the Kansas City Chiefs. Two-time defending Super Bowl champions at the Pittsburgh Steelers, who are right now leading the AFC North. I'm going with the Chiefs for 7 confident points, and J-Man's agreeing with the Chiefs for 4. Baltimore Ravens at Houston Texans, also Wednesday at 4:30. I got the Ravens for 6. J-Man's got the Ravens for 7. So even though they're on the road, We like them better than the Texans. This Texans seems hard to figure out. I think if it wasn't for a weak AFC South, we wouldn't be talking really about the Texans being a playoff team this year, which is kind of surprising because they were kind of the sexy underdog Super Bowl, dark horse, I should say, Super Bowl pick coming into the season after really turning heads last year with C.J. Stroud and D'Amico Ryans there in his first year. But something's just not right there. And for me, really, it's losing Tank Dell. I just don't know who steps up for the Texans there. Then we got a Thursday game, the 26th. We got Seattle Seahawks at Chicago Bears. I got the Seahawks for 10. Jamie has also taken Seahawks, but only for 3. The Bears are abysmal right now. I know they lost to a good Detroit Lions team, but that's a home game against your division rival, and you lose 34-17. They just look like their season can't get over soon enough. Got a triple header on the NFL Network on Saturday, starting with the LA Chargers at the New England Patriots. Patriots are playing better, but they're still not getting the wins. They played pretty well against the Bills in a 3-point loss yesterday, but once again, didn't get the win. Chargers winning their end, so I'm going with the Chargers for 11. And the J-Man is also going the Chargers for 11, so great minds think alike there. And then, of course, this one's going to have my attention on Saturday, and that's the Denver Broncos at the Cincinnati Bengals. Honestly, one that I'm really nervous about. Nobody's, in my opinion, is playing better offensively as of late than the Cincinnati Bengals. Nobody's playing better at quarterback as of late than Joe Burrow. 7 games in a row, he's thrown at least 3 touchdowns. That offense is humming. Now, on the flip side, that defense is struggling a little bit. I think there's been 4 or 5 losses that they've scored more than 27 points and still lost the game because their defense didn't come through. But we'll start with the J-Man here first. The J-Man has got the Cincinnati Bengals. No surprise there. He's picked the Broncos, though, more times this year than he has in previous years. He's taken the Bengals for 6. And this will be Tanner's Book It prediction of the week. The Denver Broncos pull off the upset because they are 3 or 4 point favorites, depending 3 or 4 point underdogs, depending on which line you're looking at, which betting provider. The Denver Broncos pull off the upset at Cincinnati and get their 10th win of the season and mark their first playoff berth since the 2015 season. So you can take it to the bank. You can book it. And I got the Broncos, but only for 1 point because I'm very nervous about this game. But the J-Man's booker prediction of the week is brought to you by, like this every week, Travis Watchering Agency. His new building address is 341 West Logan Street, Suite L100 in Noblesville, Indiana, 46060. And if you're looking for help with any of your insurance needs, Travis is a multi-line agent for Indiana Farm Bureau Insurance, specializing in home, auto, life, renter insurance, and annuities. Give Travis a call today at 219-869-4561. All right, back to the picks. In the Saturday night nightcap for the triple header on the NFL Network, Arizona Cardinals at the LA Rams. Rams, man, 9-6 all of a sudden. Nobody's talking about them enough. They're on a heater. I think they continue it. I'm taking the Rams for 14 points. The J-Man's taking the Rams for 9. New York Jets at the Buffalo Bills. Both J-Man and I agree here. Bills for 16. Las Vegas Raiders at the New Orleans Saints. That's going to be a snooze fest, but I'm taking the Raiders for 2. Now that they hurt their draft order, I think they go ahead and get another dub there. J-Man's taking the Saints for 2. So we have the same points value, but different team winning the game. Indianapolis Colts at the New York Giants. I think the Giants are the worst team in the league. And so do a lot of others because they're, picking number 1. I'm taking the Colts for 15. Anthony Richardson didn't look very good through the air yesterday, but Jonathan Taylor looked awesome on the ground. I think he definitely was trying to make up for that dropping the ball before he crossed the end zone against Denver last week. And he looked like he was running mad yesterday, running for over 200 yards on the ground. J-Man's also taking the Colts for 10. Dallas Cowboys at Philadelphia Eagles. I'm taking the Cowboys for 5. especially if Kenny Pickett's got to give it a go. I don't trust him. I like the way Cooper Rush is playing for the Cowboys. That Cowboys secondary was awesome last night against Baker. I think, you know, defense can travel, taking the Cowboys in the upset for 5, but J-Man's going with the Eagles for 15. So that's probably going to be the swing of this week's picks. Carolina Panthers at Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I think the Buccaneers do bounce back, get a much-needed win. I'm taking the Bucs for 9. J-Man's taking the Bucs for 14. Tennessee Titans at the Jacksonville Jaguars. I'm taking the Titans on the road for 3. I just don't like anything about the Jaguars team right now. I know J-Man doesn't like the Jaguars, but he's taking the Jaguars for a 1. Miami Dolphins at Cleveland Browns. We both agree that the Dolphins get it done for 8 confident points, so keeping their slim playoff hopes alive for another week. Green Bay Packers at Minnesota Vikings. That should be a really good one. I got the Pack for 4. J-Man's got the Pack for 5. Sunday Night Football, Atlanta Falcons at the Washington Commanders. Michael Penix Jr. versus Jaden Daniels. 2 top 10 rookie quarterbacks going at it. I'm taking the Commanders for 13. J-Man's also taking the Commanders for 13. And Monday Night Football, the Detroit Lions at the San Francisco 49ers. 2 teams that are pretty banged up, but we both agree here. Both of us are going with the Lions for 12. So, should be another fun week of NFL football. It's December football is great this time of year. And looking at the NFL playoff picture right now on December 23rd, if the playoffs started right this second, in the NFC, your number 1 seed with the bye would be the Detroit Lions. Your 2 seed would be the Philadelphia Eagles hosting the 7 seed Washington Commanders. Like I said, we just saw that matchup yesterday. Commanders getting the W, 36-33. Your 3 seed would be the LA Rams, since they would win the NFC West. They'd be hosting the 6 seed Green Bay Packers. That'd be a good matchup. And your 4 seed would be the Atlanta Falcons winning the NFC South, not Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So I was wrong earlier. So Atlanta now is in the driver's seat, not Tampa Bay. So definitely, Tampa Bay definitely deserved to be on my loser list like they were. They would take on the 5th seeded Minnesota Vikings. On the AFC side, your 1 seed, no surprise here. The Kansas City Chiefs would get the bye. The 2 seed would be the Buffalo Bills hosting the 7 seeded Denver Broncos. That was another reason why I put the Broncos on the loser list. Not only did they blow their chance at winning year in the playoffs, but they also blew their chance at having a good chance. I'm using the word chance a lot tonight. Having a good chance at getting the 5 or 6 seed and maybe playing Pittsburgh or Baltimore or Houston instead of having to travel to Buffalo, even though they got a win last year at Buffalo on Monday night. But, you know, I would take it right now. If I could sign something right now to make it happen, the Broncos get in as a 7 seed against the number 2 seed Buffalo Bills, sign me up. I just want to make the playoffs. I don't care. The 3 seed would be, as of right now, the Pittsburgh Steelers. They would host the 6 seeded Los Angeles Chargers. And the 4 seed would be the AFC South champs, the Houston Texans, hosting the 5th seeded Baltimore Ravens, which we will see that game on Christmas Day on Netflix. So a lot can happen in the next 2 weeks, but right now that would be your playoffs and be a pretty exciting playoff field, if I say so myself. And last thing I want to talk about a little bit is college basketball, college hoops. There was some notable non-conference games around the country. One of them involving my Purdue Boilermakers that just got a whooping at the hands of the number 2 ranked Auburn Tigers. And yeah, they might say number 2 next to their name, but in my opinion, they are the best team in the country. Auburn won 87-69, but really the score was closer than the game really was. I mean, this was more like a 30-35 point win. Auburn was bigger, tougher, faster, more athletic, shot the ball better, didn't turn over as much. Sloppy game out of Purdue. Other guys have stepped up besides Braden Smith, Fletcher Lawyer, and Trey Kaufman-Rem. It's as simple as that. Freshman CJ Cox did have double-digit scoring. But, man, Purdue's 8-4 right now, and I'm not panicked yet. I knew they'd take some lumps in the non-conference because they played a gauntlet of a schedule again this year. Something Matt Painter likes to do. He's kind of taking that old Tom Izzo philosophy and beef up your schedule, take some lumps. It'll pay dividends in March. You'll be a better team because of it. But 8-4, they got one more Sunday evening this Sunday at home against the Toledo Rockets, so they should be 9-4 heading into the Big Ten slate. And I still think they'll be a contender for the Big Ten championship. I still think Braden Smith, Fletcher Lawyer, and Trey Kaufman-Renner are 3 of the best players in the Big Ten. And I think Braden Smith's still one of the best point guards in the country. So I'm not worried yet. But what is concerning is 3 of the 4 losses Purdue has had at Marquette, at Penn State, and the neutral, in air quotes, loss to Auburn. It was the way they lost games. They just got smacked. And never really felt like they were in the game really that much from the get-go. So we will see there. Maryland flexed their muscles, winning a neutral court game against Syracuse, 87-60. Elsewhere around the Big Ten, Rutgers with a home loss to Princeton, 83-82. Rutgers 7-5. So I think J-Man was right with his preseason predictions on Rutgers, and I'm not looking right there. Indiana won a close one against Chattanooga, 74-65. So Indiana is now 9-3 in their upcoming schedule. They play Winthrop on Sunday before they start Big Ten play, and Winthrop is 10-4. So decent little opponent there. Michigan State got it done over Florida Atlantic, 86-69. UCLA choked and lost to North Carolina, 76-74, after being up 14 with 10 minutes left. Northwestern blew out the poll. Iowa beat Utah by 7. Ohio State thrashed number 4 Kentucky by 20 points, 85-65 in the Champions Classic. And the Fighting Illini got it done for J-Man yesterday, 80-77 over Missouri in the bragging rights game to approve to 8-3. So J-Man's least favorite sporting event of the year. Every year it's like that, and it's usually a pretty good game. But the Illini got the win, and their schedule, they play Chicago State on Sunday before Big Ten play starts. So we'll have a lot more Big Ten talk going forward. So for sure, for sure. But my birdie or bogey question today was, so Bill Belichick, longtime New England Patriot head coach, multi-Super Bowl winning coach. What, I think he won six Super Bowls, I think, with the Patriots. If I'm not mistaken, six or seven. A lot. Nonetheless, he's now North Carolina, become the fourth coach to win a Super Bowl and a national championship. Who are those other three coaches? And bonus points for everybody out there if they can name what school and NFL team they did that with. I think I gave you enough time to think. The answers: Jimmy Johnson with the University of Miami and the Dallas Cowboys, Barry Switzer with Oklahoma and the Dallas Cowboys. That was after they fired Jimmy Johnson. And the last one, Pete Carroll, University of Southern Cal, aka USC, and the Seattle Seahawks. So we'll see if Bill can become the fourth. I'm going to go on a limb and say no, he can't. I think he'll do okay at college. We'll see how we major success, but I don't see North Carolina winning a national championship in football. Could be wrong. Never would have thought in my life I'd see Indiana playing college football playoffs. And, you know, Indiana might have set things up for the future for the committees that take the strength of schedule and different things into consideration, which we might never see a team like Indiana make it again, or even Purdue or Illinois or anybody of that nature make it again, unless they have a lot of wins over top 25 teams. So. But, yeah, those are your four, or those are your three, and Bill could become the fourth if he somehow gets a title there in Chapel Hill. But on behalf of the Tan and J-Man Show, I want to wish all Tan and J-Man Show Nation a Merry Christmas if you celebrate, and Happy Holidays. We'll be back at it next Monday as the J-Man will return. We'll give our 2024 recap and all of that heading into 2025. But have a great, very safe Merry Christmas and holiday week, everybody. Hope you have some great time with family and friends, and we'll see you next Monday. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening.